The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Listen, I don't want to take up a lot of your time tonight. I want to give you a little devotional word. I'm going to go to Psalms chapter 27 and Psalms chapter 56, and I'm going to pull out some stuff. Again, we welcome all of our podcasters and our YouTube audience as well. So let's get into Psalms 27, Psalms 56. What inspired this is when we read the headlines, when we watch the news, it's fear and panic has seemed to grip the entire globe right now. I'm going to say that again. Fear and panic seems to be gripping the globe right now. Everything, the stock market is reflecting this. Communities are reflecting this. Social media is reflecting this. The conversations at dinner is reflecting this. You go out to lunch, you go out to dinner, you can hear people talking about this. It's on the lips and the mouths of people everywhere on the globe right now. This coronavirus has seemed to be almost like a spirit of fear that has gripped the planet. But I want to encourage you tonight with a word. And that is, if you are listening to this broadcast, you're watching this broadcast tonight, and I got good news for you. If you're born again and you are, you're saved, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then I'm going to read what David said in the book. And there's two, passages here again, Psalms 27 and Psalms 56. Let these words resonate in you. Let them soak in you. Let them get deep down inside. Listen, what David wrote in Psalms 27. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Come on, who's your light? Who's your dependency? Who's your provider? Who's your supplier? Who's your salvation in? Who's your trust in? He says, "The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation." And then he says, "Whom shall I fear?" Now, guys, we could close the book right there and call it a day. We could close the book and call it a day right there. He says, "The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Who do I have to fear?" But he goes on. He says, "The Lord is the strength of my life." I don't know who the strength of your life is, but the Lord is the strength of my life. "In him I live and move and have my being." And he says again, "Whom shall I be afraid?" In other words, he created me. He formed me. He fashioned me while I was yet in my mother's womb. He knew my days. He ordained my steps. He's ordered my steps. He's planned out my days, my beginning and my end. "Whom shall I be afraid of?" He says, "When the wicked come against me and to eat up my flesh, and my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and they fell. Though an army may camp against me, my heart shall not fear." I got to say that again. When my enemies and my foes come against me, even though an entire army may be camped against me, my heart shall not fear. Notice he made a declaration here. He said, regardless of the circumstances out there, despite how dark it gets out there, despite how gloom and doom it is out there, despite the negativity out there, despite how bad the stock market gets, despite how bad this coronavirus gets, despite how bad the media says it is, my heart shall not fear. And then he goes on. He says, though a war may rise against me. Have you ever felt like everyone is against you? Have you ever had a day when it seems like not one person's against you, not two people's against you, but it seems like the whole day the enemy has just targeted you? I mean, it's like the enemy's coming against your finances. He's coming against your health. He's coming against your marriage. He's coming against your family. He's coming against every facet of anything that you have. David said, though a war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Come on, where's your confidence in tonight? One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Come on, in His presence is the fullness of joy, and His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Is anybody, do I got any old school folks that still believe that? Do I got anybody that still believes that the earth and the fullness thereof is of the Lord's? Is there anybody out there that still believes that the silver and gold is His and the cattle that are on a thousand hills is His? And if He was hungry, He wouldn't ask us, because He fashioned the earth and created this, and He drew this out of many waters. And while we were yet formed and while we were yet fashioned, the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters, and He said, let us create man in our image. Does anybody still believe that today? The God who formed us from the dust and blew the breath of life into our nostrils and fashioned us and planned out the days of our lives. Think about it for a second, my friend. This is the God that we serve. And He says, this one thing I desire, that I may seek and dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. In other words, anything I need. Come on, remember the story of Mary and Martha? Martha was troubled by many things, and she was the workhorse of the family, and she got offended because Mary went and fell at His feet and began to worship, and Jesus had to set her straight and said, Martha, you do good, you do well with what you do, but this one thing you should have learned from Mary, this is the better thing. In other words, He was saying, everything you need, all your provision, all your desires, all your want, everything that I've instilled in you, everything that you would need is in my presence. And He says, for in the time, I love this, guys, verse 5, Psalm 27:5. For in the time of trouble, how many believes we're in the time of trouble? How many believes we're in perilous times, is what Paul told Timothy. He said, there will be troubled days. There'll be days of great difficulty, one translation says. In Psalm 27:5, it says, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. This is exactly goes hand in hand with what the word of the Lord says in Psalms chapter 91. I want to read this from the beginning here, because it goes again, it goes hand in hand with Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And David said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. And over here in Psalms 27, he says, in the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. When's He going to do it? In the time of trouble. So when I see the headlines, when I see what's coming, when I see the storm brewing, when I see what's going on in the stock market, when I see what's going on with this virus, when I see what's going on in my family, when I see what's going on in my health, when I see what's going on in my marriage, when I see what's going on in my church, when I see what's going on in my in every facet and everything that's going on in my life, I call to remembrance that in the time of trouble, Lord, You said that You would hide me in your secret place of Your pavilion and Your tabernacle. It says, He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. What's the word of the Lord says? He says, I will look unto the hills in which my help comes from. You know who that rock is? That rock is the Lord. He is the rock in which we stand, the rock of ages in which we stand upon. The rock that never sinks. It never fails. It never crumbles. It never falls. It never falters. Come on. Every other sand is sinking sand. Everything is sinking sand except for the rock of ages. A wise man built his house upon the rock so that when the winds and the storms of life blew, come on, you will still stand. Listen to this, but he goes on. He says, and now my head shall be lifted above my enemies. all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are you who keep Israel, neither sleeps nor slumbers. You have not turned your back. You have not slumbered. You're not asleep. You're not unaware of what's going on. You see what's going on. You see the events that we're in. You see the trouble we're in. You have not forgotten us. You didn't forget Israel when they were in captivity to Egypt. You didn't forget Noah when he was riding out the storm for 40 days and 40 nights. You didn't forget Moses when he was on the backside of the desert. You didn't forget Jonah. You didn't forget Saul of Tarsus. You didn't forget Abraham. You didn't forget Isaac. You didn't forget Jacob. Come on, I could go on and on and on. And friends, he's no respecter of persons, and all that call upon his name, he will. The Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whew. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart shall say to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. I believe, friends, let's just talk real here for a second. Let's talk some real talk here for a second. I believe it would not surprise me at all that if what's going on is an opportunity for the church to begin to humble themselves and begin to get back on their face. Listen, I've said it for years. This might not be politically correct. This not be something you want to hear, but I'm going to tell you the truth anyway. I have said for years that we're in a place in America. We're in a place of lawlessness. We're in a place of darkness. We're in a place of immorality. We're in a place that we're so far away from the presence of the Lord as a whole that it's going to take another calamity. It's going to take another disaster. It's going to take something that's very dark to humble us and to get us to a place of repentance that we begin to carry out 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their sins and wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven and then heal their land. If the Lord is going, listen, it may take a plague like we're seeing right now, carrying out or rolling out across the globe. It may take this to get us to a position and get us to a place as a church to stop playing games, stop fiddling around and piddle farting around, and get back to that place of intercession. Get back to that place of repentance. Get back to that place of standing firm and our face like flint, and being on the firing lines and being the called out body of Christ that we're called to be. And you say, I don't know if I believe that. Well, the Sunday after 9/11 happened, we had the largest attendance records in the history of America for a short space. And it was because, again, America was driven to her knees. I don't have time to go and elaborate on the first and second great awakening. I could tell you on the first and second great awakening, what pushed it over the edge and what pushed men and women of God to begin to seek the face of God and begin to cry out for revival in the land, begin to cry out for an awakening in the land. It was because of despair. It was because of economic turmoil. It was because of morality, the moral decay in the land. It was because of abominations in the land. It was because of immorality, idolatry, and the list goes on. So don't tell me that, again, that, come on. Joseph said it like this: the evil that you intended, God has used it this day for good. So I think, listen, God's not finished. God is not caught unaware of what's going on with this coronavirus. And you watch, he's going to show his glory through this. You're going to see the remnant, not all the church, but the remnant of the church, I believe, is going to rise up in power, rise up in glory, rise up in authority, and know who they are in Christ Jesus. And they're going to begin a decree and declare what the word of the Lord says, where he says, behold, I give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever things you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whatsoever things you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. I'm talking about the church that Jesus looked at on the boat, and he said, oh, ye of little faith, if you will just just speak unto this mountain, be thou removed, and declare it to be cast into the sea, it shall be done unto you. My friends, we have the authority and the power. If Jesus said that we can speak the storms, we can speak the fig trees, we can speak the mountains to be removed. Listen, we can be like John G. Lake and go right down into the heart of Africa where Ebola was wiping people out on the left and wiping people out on the right. He stuck his hand out and says, put the virus in my hand. Look at it under a microscope. He said, because the power that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. And when they looked at the virus on John G. Lake's hand, it withered up and died in his hand. And you say, I don't believe what you're selling me, preacher. Listen, I don't really care if you believe it or not, but it's been documented, and there was eyewitnesses that reported this. So I'm telling you, friends, we're in the time of great peril. We're in a time of distress. We're in a time of perilous times. So we have a choice as a church. We can hide. We can bury our head in the sand. We can call everything fake news. We can say it's not happening. We can say that this is this is just all propaganda. It's this, that. We can turn our back. We can do this. Or we can face it like David did, face the giant, and say, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I don't care what your name is, coronavirus, or whatever you called yourself, or whatever they called you, entitled you. I come to you in the name that has been given, that is above every name, that has been named on heaven, in heaven and earth and the sea and the dry land. And in the name of Jesus, I command you and your power to be broken off of my family, off of my home, off of my region, off of my city, and off of this nation in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. You done got me stirred up today. He said, you've been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me. O God of my salvation, when my father, my mother forsake me, then the Lord shall take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I love this. Verse 13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Listen, I want you to say that with me. I want you to repeat this after me. Say, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Do you believe that? Do you believe you're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? Verse 14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You say, well, I'm fearful, Brother Ricky. Wait on the Lord. I don't know what to do. Wait on the Lord. I'm at my wit's end. Wait upon the Lord. But I've done everything. Ephesians 6 says, having done all, stand therefore. What did the Lord tell Moses? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord your God this day. He told David today, he said, for this battle is not yours, but it belongs unto the Lord. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If he be for us, who is he who can be against us? Come on, 1,000 may fall to our side, 10,000 to our right hand, but it shall not come now our dwelling. Come on, they shall come at you one way, but be defeated before your face and flee seven ways. You got to speak the word and declare the word. Now I'm going to go to Psalms 56. David said, be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up fighting all day. He oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me. But listen what he says. But whenever I'm afraid, come on, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will, and I love this in parentheses. This is what it says. This is in Psalms 56, 3 and 4. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you, in God. And here's in parentheses, it says, I will praise his word. Did you know that God exalts his word above his name? Oh, you didn't hear me. Let me say it again for the back row. I said, in the word of God, it says that God exalts his name. I'm sorry, his word above his name. You don't think he takes his word seriously? The Bible says that the angels of the Lord hearken unto the word of the Lord. In other words, you and I have angels that have been assigned to us. They've been dispatched to us. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, they are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. There's angels that watch over children. You can find that in the book of Matthew. We have angels that watch over us. They keep us. They protect us in all of our ways. Psalms 91, the angel of the Lord encamps around about those. That's in the book of Psalms 34:7, I believe. And then in Psalms 91, it says, the angels of the Lord bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But did you know that the angel of the Lord hearkens unto the word of the Lord? So whatever God said in this word, he's going to perform it over you. So when you pray the word, declare the word, and stand on the word, God is going to move on behalf of his word. So when it says, whenever I'm afraid, David said, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in your word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. I will say it again. I got to get this in your spirit today. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. Somebody say that really loud. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All the day, oh, I'm going to preach on this a little bit. All the day they twist my words. Oh, I can testify to that. Look, I can go to any thread on End Time Headlines on our Facebook page and people twist my words. I get so tired of people calling me a fear monger because, and again, it blows my mind because they're on a site called End Time Headlines. What kind of headlines do you expect to read about and hear about in the end times? Have you read the book of Revelation? Have you read the book of Daniel? Have you read the warnings in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21? These are not bedtime stories that you read your children before you send them to bed. So it blows my mind when people say, I don't like this page. I'm unfollowing this page. I'm out of here. All this page is full of fear mongering and propaganda. And it just blows me away. So I understand when David says they all the day long they twist my words and their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide and they mark my steps. They lie in wait for my life. Shall they escape by iniquity and anger cast down the peoples, O God? And then listen to this profound statement David made in Psalms 56:8. You number my wanderings. And you put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? My goodness, guys. That is profound. In other words, David was calling to remembrance. Look, despite what it looks like, despite how bad it's getting, despite the prognosis, despite the report, despite the projections, despite of the rumors and the chatter and whatever they're saying, the threats that are coming against me, despite all that, I have to remember that it was God, the God who created the universe, the solar system, the planets, the air that I breathe. That same God numbers my wanderings. He orders my steps. He knows my rising up and my setting down. He knows that my thoughts are far off. He knows the words that are on my lips before I speak them. He knows the very tears that fall from my eyes, in which somehow, I don't understand this, whether it be an angel or some supernatural way, he puts my tears and stores them in a bottle, and they are stored in a book in heaven. He says in the book of Matthew, he says the very hairs on my head are numbered. So one day, I'm going to be blown away when I step through the pearly gates and the books are open and he's going to show me a book. and there's going to be a book of tears. And he's going to say, this is a tear on such and such date when you shed tears over this, and I came through for you on that circumstance. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I'm going to flip a couple more pages, and he's going to say, do you remember on such and such date when it looked like it was all over and it looked like you were finished and you were shedding tears? And then right beside it, it shows where he came through and he prevailed and his promise was true. And then he's going to flip some more pages, and he's going to say, here's some more tears when you were going through that health problem, and you didn't know how he was going to come out on the other end, and you were afraid of the prognosis, and you were afraid of the diagnosis, and you didn't know what you were going to be dealing with. So you were shedding some tears. You were up all night crying in your bed. Your tears was your bed at night, but I came through for you then. And I was all, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, he delivers us out of them all. I believe this is why David was calling to remembrance this. Listen to this in verse 9, Psalms 56, 9. When I cry out to you, this is so powerful, guys. You got to get this. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. I got to say that again. This is powerful. When I cry out to you, then my enemies turn back. Did you know? Listen, there is a power in your praise. There is a power in your worship. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. I'm going to tell you something. When you can get to a point, if you're like me, I don't know, you may not be like me, but everybody has their own personal threshold. You will go through something. You will go through circumstances. Long, and then enough is enough, and all of a sudden something on the inside of you will rise up. I believe it's the Holy Spirit on the inside of you will rise up and say enough is enough, and you will begin to make your face like flint. You will draw a line in the sand, and you will begin to cry out in desperation. You'll begin to cry out in intercession. Guys, I can tell you time and time and time again, over and over and over again. I can remember even recently, I was going through a physical infirmity, and I remember I was on my treadmill. Don't ask me why, but I've gotten many breakthroughs by praising and worshiping and praying on my treadmill. It's just, I just do these walks and I just pray while I'm walking, or I'll praise or I'll worship while I'm walking. Anyway, I'm on a treadmill and I'm lost in his presence, and I begin to get into some deep prayer and intercession, and I begin to cry out to the Lord. And I'm telling you, you can feel the anointing on. I knew I was piercing through heaven, and 3 days later, I got a phone call from a pastor friend of mine who had no idea what was going on in secret. What does the Lord say in the book of Matthew chapter 6? He said, well, if you'll pray in secret to your Father who's in secret, I will reward you openly. So here I am crying out in a secret place, and three days later, I get a phone call. And I was crying out for deliverance over a physical infirmity. And 3 days later, I got a phone call from a pastor friend of mine who's in Alabama at a meeting, in which a young woman of God calls him up on a platform and begins to prophesy over him. And I could care less if you don't believe in prophecy or prophets or the gifts of God. It don't really matter to me. It's irrelevant, because I'm going to preach and I'm going to teach anyway. But nevertheless, she called him out, didn't know him from Adam, and said, began to read his mail and said, you have a good friend of yours. And she said, his name is Ricky. And she called my name, and my friend began to freak out and was like, wow. And she began to describe details about me and about this ministry. I'm talking about details. She didn't know me. She didn't know him. She's never met me. She don't know this ministry. And she said, he's been crying out to the Lord to be healed of an infirmity. And when he told me that, I broke down weeping. Why? Not because of my unbelief, but because the joy unexpressed, the joy unspeakable and full of glory, knowing that God, it's not that I didn't know that God heard my prayers, but when you get confirmation that he hears your prayers, my friends, there ain't nothing I'm talking an unshakable faith and glory. But listen, don't miss what I'm trying to tell you. When you cry out to him, then God steps into your situation and begins to turn it around. The children of Israel cried out to the Lord, and eventually God stepped in and raised up a deliverer. When Jonah cried out unto the Lord from the belly, I believe it was from the pit of hell. I don't have time to develop that. But he was all the way down into the gates of hell under the water, and he cried out unto the Lord. Then God intervened. And we could go to story after story. What's the Bible says? For those who come to God must first believe that he is, Hebrews, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Call unto the Lord, and he shall answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3. Call and seek me and search me, and you will find me when you seek for me with all your heart. That's Jeremiah 29:12-13. I'm telling you, there is power when we cry out to the Lord. He steps in. God himself steps in and starts fighting our enemies. Listen, friends, think about this. What would happen if the church came out of hiding and instead of panicking and being fearful like the world is, what if we rose up with the authority that we have in Jesus' name and came together as a unified body and began to bind this coronavirus and began to command it to dry up and die in Jesus' name? What would happen? What would happen, my friends? Think about that for a second. He says, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. I'm going to add a little something to this. Ain't going to hurt it any way at all. This I know because God is for me and not against me. So I can have confidence and know that God is for me. Here he, listen, he repeats himself again in verse 10. In God I will praise his word. Here he goes again. In his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. He repeats it twice. I will praise his word. I will praise his word. In the Lord, he says it twice, in God, and then he says in the Lord. In God, I have put my trust, verse 11, I will not be afraid. He had to make a point. Regardless, you have to make up your mind before it gets really bad. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Verse 12, vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? I'm going to say it again, then I'm going to close with this. For you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling? Listen, has God not kept us from the Zika virus? Has God not kept us from Ebola? Has he not kept us from MERS? Has he not kept us from H1N1? Has he not kept us from SARS? Has he not kept us from the West Nile virus? Has he not kept us from anthrax? And the list goes on and on and on. The same God who delivered us from that pestilence and that other pestilence and that other pestilence and that other pestilence is the same God who was the author, who was the inspiration behind the word of the Lord in Psalms 91. It says that no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. No pestilence shall prevail over thee. And only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Whew. Come on, somebody. Do I got anybody tonight that believe? I hope this has encouraged you tonight. I hope this has encouraged you. It has equipped you tonight. It's put a fire in your spirit. Friends, if you got to, turn the television off. Shut off the news, shut off the laptop, shut off the tablet, shut off the phone, get into his presence and begin to use your authority. Begin to speak out the word of the Lord. Begin to speak. In fact, let's do that right now. I don't know how long we've even been on here, but I'm gonna spend the last few moments on this in prayer, and we're gonna close. Before we do that, I want to close with this: endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you're listening by podcast, watching by YouTube, or watching by Facebook, you can go to endtimeheadlines.org or endtimeheadlines.com, and you can click on that link, and you can subscribe to one daily digest every single day in your inbox. You can subscribe to push notifications. You can subscribe there at Bob. Just there's going to be many places right there where you can do that. Again, if you have an Android device, you can follow us on our Android app at the App Store. iOS is going to be soon available for everybody that's got an Apple device. Again, just hold on a little bit longer. It will be coming, I promise. Again, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, again, all that information is there for you on Facebook Live under the link under the description. You guys on YouTube and podcast, all that information is going to be at the end of this. Let's pray real quick. Right now, I want to pray in accordance to the word that we just delivered tonight. Father, I thank you tonight that God, you are for us and not against us. Lord, I thank you that we are your blood-bought ecclesia that are made up of sons and daughters. And you said the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwells in us and quickens our mortal bodies. You said that, Father, we have the authority to bind and loose. And you said that, Father, the greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Father, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, God, I'm asking that you begin to dispatch, Lord, heavenly host. You begin to dispatch warring angels. You begin to release them in the communities that are represented in this Facebook Live, in this podcast, in this YouTube. Lord, release those angels into those cities that are represented. Release those angels around those homes that are represented tonight. Put them around about us, oh God. You said in Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around. He said, sets up his tent. He sets up his dwelling place around about those who fear you, Lord God. And you said that no evil shall befall us. No plague shall come nigh our dwelling. Father, I thank you that no weapon formed or forged against us shall not prosper, but every tongue that would rise against us shall not prevail. Lord, every assignment of hell shall not prevail, God. Lord, every perpetrated attack shall not prevail. No plague, no virus, no pestilence shall not prevail in Jesus' name. God, I plead the blood of Jesus. Lord, if the blood of an earthly lamb was so powerful that by the application of it over their doorpost through obedience of taking the blood of an earthly lamb and putting it over the doorpost, if the obedience of that through an earthly lamb warded off the death angel, how much more shall faith be in the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, through the profession of the blood of Jesus. Father, we profess the blood. Oh, we speak the blood. We profess the blood. I speak the blood of Jesus over my household. I speak it over my sons. I speak it over my wife. I speak it over myself. I speak it over my doorpost. I speak it over my home. I speak the blood over my neighborhood, over my vehicle, over my possessions, over my health. Oh, I speak it over. Come on, you got to open your mouth tonight. You got to speak it out. You got to speak it over your life. Speak it over your family. Speak it over your children in Jesus' name. Devil, you cannot have us. Your diseases, your pestilence, and your plague shall not come near us. Oh God, I thank you that the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. But you reminded us that you've come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, I thank you that the devil don't call the shots. He may propagate things. He may form and forge a weapon, but God, he has to ask permission. He has to seek permission before he can ever fulfill or prevail against us, God. I'm reminded in the book of Job, he came before your throne and he had to have permission to touch your servant Job. So God, I thank you that whatever happens, whatever things come to pass, God, it's been permissible by your hand, but I thank you that, Lord, you're working all things together for the good of those who love you and that are called according to your purpose. God, you're going to bring about a move of God, however it may come. It may come through travail. It may come through, it may come through crying. It may come through repentance. But God, if it takes a tragedy, if it takes a virus, then Lord, we ask that Father, you move and you move mightily. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you are moving in the midst of this very tragedy. You're moving in the midst of this virus. You're moving. And God, we expect to see your mighty acts in your hand speak in through in this situation, through in and throughout, in Jesus' name, because you've always been in the very midst of every disaster, every turmoil, and everything that's been negative, everything that's been good, through the high times, the low times, the good times, the bad times. Lord, when the stock market was high and on the top, and you were there when we were on the bottom as well. You're the God of the mountain and you're the God of the valley, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father. You said that, Lord, the psalmist said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor see his beg, or I've never seen his seed beg of bread. You said, Lord, in your word, that the young lions lack therefore hunger. They lack in hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And I thank you today. We praise you today. You said, Lord God, I remind you of your word, that you said if we call upon the Lord, you said if we call upon the Lord, you would turn back our enemies. We choose tonight to call upon the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Yahweh, the one true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We call upon you and we say to move, God, in this situation. We ask, God, that you would prevail in this situation. God, I remind you, this battle is not ours, but it belongs unto you. And you said, when we've done all, having done all, you said to stand therefore. So Father, we stand and we expect to see the salvation of the Lord our God move on our behalf. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's church said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right, guys. I know this has been a little bit different. This is why, again, usually on Wednesdays we do this, but we had a delay. We had a postponement, so we did this tonight. But this is our weekly devotional. So for all of you that gets a little nervous about these kind of preaching or this kind of preaching and teaching, we'll be back on tomorrow for our prophetic updates, in which it'll be more information geared than revelatory devotional messages like this. So again, as always, guys, we appreciate you guys. We love you. Listen, as we pray for you, we ask that you pray for myself, pray for my family. Listen, at this moment, there's a very high probability, and I wasn't too happy about this, and especially and my family wasn't too happy about this, but based on the circumstances and what we're dealing with, next month in March, we planned to take a trip to California for our family vacation, but being that the circumstances that are happening, it looks like we're going to be canceling that out of wisdom. I have a 4-year-old son, and a couple years ago, he went through some immune things where we had a little bit of a scare. He was in the hospital on Thanksgiving. His hemoglobins and his platelets were so low that they were very low. I mean, dangerous low. So there's no way, as a father, I cannot risk that. And you say, where's your faith? Listen, friends, I have faith, but I use wisdom as well. So we've got to, even the Bible says the prudent man sees the evil of the day and he prepares himself. So, I'm not happy about that because A, I wanted to go on vacation with my family, and B, we took a financial blow for that because we had to do that and reschedule that. But such is life, and we know that the Lord will provide. He will take care of that. So, you know, it is what it is, and you guys understand that. So we love you guys. Again, pray for us. We pray for you. And until we see you guys tomorrow on Friday, God bless you. May the Lord keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.